Batman.
I am the night. I am Batman.
I am Batman.
I'm 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 Batman.
Welcome to episode 213 of Shanlan on Batman. I am your host, Justin Shanlan, and we have Mr. Joker Folie Du. I don't know how to even say that. Kyle, well, how would you pronounce your name in Francois?
Omelette du fromage. One of the real ones are going to get that.
I thought you were going to do like Beauty and the Beast. Sacre bleu.
Sacre bleu. That's my middle name.
So episode 213, we are now recording. And on today's episode, we are not going to be breaking down the Joker trailer. But we will be talking about the Joker trailer. Then there's some casting news to get to as well. And the reason why we're not talking or breaking down the Joker trailer as we said we were, because it's not like a trailer I think you and I can like really break down.
I'm going to be really honest. We do not have the media literacy to interpret a musical trailer.
me and Kyle were talking about like, so how are we going to do this? Are we just going to like stop and they sing? It's a really good trailer. Like, I'm not trying to, like...
Yeah,
like, I rewatched it again. I'm, like, it looks really good. The trailer looks really good. It's, like, a really strong trailer. But, like I said, like, how do you break down it? Harley and the Joker sit next to each other watching a movie. And she wants to put her hand on him. Stop. Can you see the love?
If you look very carefully... You can see that the two of them want to bang really badly.
There is some chemistry between the two. And stop. Now they sing.
Now they're singing about how much chemistry they have.
But before we do that, there is some casting news. Kyle, can you pull up the IMBD page for the casting of Ma and Pa Kent? And to be honest, like, I'm a little surprised that they did decide to cast Ma and Pa Kent, because they said, James said, this is not an origin story. Now, obviously, Ma and Pa Kent are essential to Superman and Smallville and, you know, the upbringing of young Clark and everything. But I really thought that this film was just going to primarily play in Metropolis. Like, we weren't going to go back to Smallville to see Ma and Pa Kent, to see, you know, we did that, you know, in, you know, the Richard Donner Superman movie, did that Man of Steel. But I, like, when I found out that they had cast Ma and Pa Kent, I was a little surprised by that, to be honest. Like I said, like, I really thought that this was just primarily going to stick to Metropolis, that this was just going to be, you know, Superman, Clark, you know,
is it really that surprising that Ma and Pa Kent make an appearance in the new Superman movie?
No, I thought this one was just going to be straight up like the Batman, where it's just kind of like they're already, you know, he's already been established. You know, he hasn't really fought like many of his rogues gallery at this point. You know, he's, you know, and it was just going to, I mean, obviously in the Batman, you know, you have Alfred in it, but like, you don't need to have, I mean, you do, but you don't, you can lose Ma and Pa Kent for the first story, like for the first movie. Right. You know, cause we've done the origin. I mean, there was even, you know, whole, you know, 90s television series, you know, starring Dean King and Terry Hatcher, you know, about, you know, Superman. You know, what was that show called? Superman, The New Adventures of Lois and Clark? I think that's what it was.
It's not one I'm too familiar with.
It was okay. You know, it was like a Superman, but like a soap opera type of thing. So who has been cast as Ma and Pa Kent?
So Pa Kent is going to be played by Pruitt Taylor Vince.
And, no idea who that is.
And Ma Kent is Neva Howell.
No idea who that is either.
Yeah, I was looking through their IMDb pages. Mr. Pruitt here, he played the role of Father Hennessy in Constantine. He appeared in a season of Heroes. No, that he just kind of played small supporting roles here and there. Maybe like showed up in a show for an episode or two, minor role in a movie or something like that. But nothing crazy. This is definitely like one of the more high profile appearances he will have.
I think that David Corenswet and who's that person again? I'm sorry.
Are you talking about the person playing Lois?
No. The person playing Pruitt Taylor Vince. So okay. I think that Pruitt Taylor Vince and David Corenswet are in a television, like an Apple Plus TV show together. So I'm guessing that's how he got that role.
You know what's funny about that is like you could just say that and nobody can disprove it because nobody actually watches Apple TV.
I have not seen anything, you know, like even Constantine. I don't remember him in Constantine. Like I don't remember him in Miss. Like he's a character actor, obviously. He's been around a long time. When I saw a picture of him, like I thought that he looked like it looks like James was going for like kind of like the aesthetic from if you were to pull up Ma and Pa Kent, Google Superman, The New Adventures of Lois and Clark, Ma and Pa Kent, Kyle, and you saw Ma and Pa Kent, you'd be like, oh. Well, I guess that's where he's getting his inspiration from. I'm being serious. I'll do it right now.
Yeah, I can see the resemblance.
So I don't know. Like, I don't know either of these actor and actresses. And I'm not saying that they're going to be bad. But, like, to me, I would have preferred, like, my pick for Ma and Pa Kent, like I didn't have like a Ma Kent, but I really wanted Kevin Bacon as Pa Kent.
Wanted Kevin Bacon to be Superman's dad.
Yes, I did. I thought it made sense because James Gunn cast Kevin Bacon as Kevin Bacon in the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special. But like I said, like if you were to look at, you know, Ma and Pa Kent from Superman, Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. I don't know why I had it all backwards, but it's all the same. but like that's the aesthetic that we're getting. Like he looks like a farmer. Like, I don't know. It's like there's some interesting.
Yeah, that's the thing. The two of them together, I'm like, yeah, that they look like a very lovely, wonderful farm couple. So it's on brand, it's on point. I'm not familiar with their bodies of work, but you know, as long as James Gunn thinks they have what it takes to fulfill this role, then I'm down for it. I don't think Ma and Pa Kent are going to play that huge of roles, so I'm okay if I'm going for some lesser known actors and actresses here. Like I said, as long as James Gunn is confident they can do it, then sure, let's give them a chance.
And like, there was some kerfuffle on, you know, Twitter or X or whatever people are calling it now, that, you know, how do you go from Kevin Costner to this unknown? How do you go from Diane Lane to this unknown?
The answer to that is because it's Twitter and everything has to be a big fucking deal on Twitter. So that is why nobody should actually pay attention.
But there
Twitter.
Is a point to that, though, right, Kyle? There actually is. There is an argument to be made that these two characters are the cornerstone of Clark Kent's upbringing in Smallville.
If this movie goes as in depth into like the upbringing of Clark, then sure. But I think we're already past that at this point in the story. I mean, there might be flashbacks here and there, but I think for the most part, he's already an adult. He's already moved out of the house. I don't think they're going to play as big of a role.
That's how they, so like, I don't remember too many episodes because that show came out in the 90s, but literally, like, I remember like certain sequences where like Clark would go back to the farm and like Mom, Pa Kent would be like reading the newspaper and eating breakfast, and they would just be shooting the shit about, you know, so what'd you do last night? You know, like it wasn't like there wasn't like a philosophical upbringing that you saw from, you know, like Richard Donner or even as much as Kevin Costner. I mean, obviously there was some of that in the television series. You know, they played it as expository, and it, like Paul Kent did give, but it wasn't like that really heavy-handedness that you got from those two iterations. You know, from Superman the movie and then Man of Steel, and you know, I like the philosophy of both those versions of Paul Kent, even though like I didn't like the idea that Paul Kent in Man of Steel was like, you need to like hide yourself, and then he allowed himself to get murked by a tornado.
I mean, he did encourage Superman to let a school bus of kids die, so you know that's cool.
Wait, like, what did you want me to do? Let them die?
Maybe.
I'm like, damn. I didn't like that.
This is the moral compass of Superman being established.
I'm just like, damn. So it's very interesting. Like I said, James Gunn is pretty good with casting, obviously. You know, Chris Pratt as Star-Lord, Dave Bautista as whoever he plays, and I can't even remember his character's name off the top of my head.
Drax.
Yeah, there you go. Bradley Cooper's Rocket Raccoon. Like, so far the casting is kind of like shaping up, but like I said, like, I don't know, like, I just had a picture in my head of Kevin Bacon or someone of that ilk as Pa Kent. So, and not having not having, you know, a big name next to it. I don't know, like, I just thought it was a little of a missed opportunity. Like, the devil's in the details. And these things could be easily rectified by a great story, great scenes between them, and just great acting. So, like, I'm always willing to give anything a chance. But like I said, like, to me, like, I just thought, like, this is Superman. This is the DCU. I just would have preferred, I wouldn't say, like, a name. Like, you, like, obviously, like, Kevin Bacon's a name. But, like, more of a recognizable name in comparison to these two actors, actresses. So, I mean, I'm here for it. I'm sure Kyle is here for it. As the casting has been kind of, like, filling out, does this make you more or less excited, Kyle, to
I've had this feeling for a little bit now that there's like almost too much happening with the casting. Like it's like, oh, that we got this character, this character, this character, this character, this character, and I'm just like, are these going to be cameos? Like, how much screen time are these characters actually going to get in this movie? And then like, here was like, oh, now we got Ma and Pa Kent in there too. I'm just like, okay, like, what? I don't know what's happening in this movie, but I guess we're going to try to find screen time for everybody at some point. So because of how crowded things are starting to become, I'm totally fine with this casting. We don't again, like I don't feel like we need to get Kevin Bacon in there if he's only going to be in the movie for like a minute, you know, or however long.
I want a Kevin Bacon in it.
Don't get me wrong, I like Kevin Bacon. I just don't think we need him.
Did you see the news?
No.
This has almost become a Rebel Moon news.
This week on the Rebel Moon News Network.
Did you see that Zack Snyder had a general meeting with Leonardo DiCaprio for Lex Luthor for BVS?
That would have been interesting.
Yes. So, like, people are saying, you know, I saw some people, you know, talking like, oh my God, he almost snagged Leonardo DiCaprio or something. I was like, no, they had a general meeting. Like, Zack Snyder asked Leonardo DiCaprio to come meet with him about potentially doing business together. And Leo was very polite and took the meeting. He didn't have to. And they had a good
conversation. Leo was probably correct to turn it down.
Well, what's interesting is he said that he thought that Superman should fight the Justice League.
Well, he ended up getting his wish.
And Zack Snyder said, you know, that's a really cool idea.
That's a good idea. I should put that in the movie.
But I've always wanted to see Leonardo DiCaprio in a superhero movie. I've always thought he would really make a great villain. Like, he would make an amazing Lex Luthor. He would make an amazing Metallo. He would make an amazing anything.
I thought the same thing about Christian Bale one day.
How would you say?
I thought the same thing about Christian Bale.
That he would be a great villain in a Thor movie?
What a wasted opportunity that was.
I still haven't seen that, so.
Don't see it.
I haven't seen any of the Thor movies since Thor 2.
Ragnarok is good. The rest, eh.
I don't need to see any. You see one Thor movie, you've seen them all.
I don't think that logic works. Like, the first two are definitely very similar. And then the second two are also pretty similar.
Okay.
To each other. But, like, all four together are not the same.
But, it would have been interesting. It would have been really interesting to see what that would have done, how the trajectory for that movie would be different, because Leo doesn't do a bad movie.
Do you think Leonardo...
I could not see Leonardo DiCaprio do multiple DCU films or DCEU films, right? Like, I don't see him popping up.
He sounds like the guy that would just sign up for one if he did.
Right. Like, I couldn't envision him popping up at the end of Justice League.
I know, it's interesting because, like, I'm thinking of this hypothetical scenario where he said yes and he became like Lex Luthor. It was right.
What an interesting.
Like, I have a hard time seeing his version of the character being this Mark Zuckerberg type that puts like giant ranchers in people's mouths and stuff.
I don't think that's the version we would have gotten.
No, I think we would have got something a little bit more true to the original.
I think it would have been a little bit edgier, not as
a little less Mark Zuckerberg, a little bit more Elon Musk.
To be fair, like, there are good moments of Jesse Eisenberg, you know, in the film. Whenever he's talking to the senator, like, especially in the hallway, like at the Capitol, I thought that was really strong stuff. And, like, at the end when he's explaining to Kal-El, kind of like his backstory and everything. And even the scene at the gala or whatever they were at, like, that, all that stuff was interesting. I really liked it. But, like, it's like almost a tale of, like, two characters. Like, he was, like, kind of like playing Jekyll and Hyde the entire time. And you never knew which version of Jekyll and Hyde you were getting. It was like multiplicity of Jekyll and Hyde. If that makes any sense at all.
Yeah, kind of.
So I just think if Leo gets involved, Leo gets in the mix, he's going to have like a lot of control over the script. He's going to make sure the script is a lot better. And I just, like I said, like there, I can't envision him doing multiple, but it would have been cool to see him play a scene with Ben Affleck's Bruce Wayne, right? It would have been cool to see him going toe to toe with Superman, right? That'd be really cool to see and really cool to think about. But like I said, I don't envision him, you know, showing up at the end to do a cameo for anything. Like, I don't see him.
I agree.
I don't see him, you know, doing multiple. I just remember them talking about doing like an Injustice League movie with like all the villains teaming up. I just don't see him doing that. I don't see him having any, him wanting to be in a movie with Will Smith and Jai Courtney and Jared Leto, you know, like I just don't see that being a thing. So.
No, definitely an interesting what if scenario. Like what trajectory would the entire DCE would have gone had that happened? Could have gone down a different road. We may never know though.
I don't know. Like I said, it's interesting. Like when I saw that, I was like, whoa. Like, and I like that Zach was like shooting for like a huge name to go with his, you know, Justice League, his BVS, you know, right after Man of Steel, you know, and the seeing that name on the marquee, seeing that name on a poster. You know, and it would be the first one on it. It would be Leonardo DiCaprio, Ben Affleck, you know, Henry Cavill. You know, like it would have been so interesting to see that. You know. But yeah, like coulda, woulda, shoulda, right?
Coulda, shoulda, woulda.
So Joker.
Joker Folie à deux.
So what are your thoughts on the trailer?
This is a hard trailer to talk about. So I'm going to start by saying I do like the trailer. It is interesting. Like, I think this is going to be an interesting movie.
Like, it's hard to, like, it's kind of like hard to pinpoint what is this movie.
Here's the thing, like, I think it's going to be an interesting movie, but I can't shake the feeling that it still feels unnecessary.
Like, you just think that Joker should have just been one and done?
I would have been totally fine with Joker just being one and done, but, like, there has to be something in this movie that everyone thinks is worth telling. We all know that Joaquin Phoenix is the kind of guy where if he's not, like, super into a script, he just does not come back, and there was something in the script that he was like, yes, I want to be part of this movie.
I think him winning the Oscar and him working with Todd Phillips again,
potentially,
that was kind of like, oh, like I had a really successful time, like I really enjoyed doing this, he really liked working with Todd, they were good, really great collaborators, you know.
But still, I think if he looked at the script and he thought it was like dog shit or something, I don't think that would have been enough for him to come back. So I think there is something here that is special, but I'm really not sure what or how that is. But the trailer is interesting. I guess if Devin feels very artistic, them leaning into the musical aspect, while it's not something I'm really into personally, it definitely helps this movie stand out. It's not just another generic comic book sequel. Like, there's definitely going to be something different about it, for better or worse. But it's going to be really hard to judge this until we get the final product, because the trailer really is just like, yep, here's Joker and Harley hanging around in a sane asylum.
And it's dancing. A little bit, right? And
it's like, I think it looks fun, but I don't know.
But the trailer to you, doesn't the trailer look a little misleading? Because it kind of comes off as like this dark, comedy, right? Like the first one was, like, I wouldn't say that the first Joker was a dark comedy, but there were moments of comedy in it. Like, it was, like, based off the Kings of Comedy, you know, the Marty Scorsese film.
Yeah, it feels...
This one is interesting because it's like La La Land, and how it's been described to me. And if you go back to my tweet from years ago, like, I'm not trying to, like, you know, pump up my own, you know, quote unquote sourcing. But from what I've been told is this movie is La La Land on acid. Like, just a continuation from the first one, but in a completely different, almost like in a completely different genre. And from what I was told is that Lady Gaga steals the show and is going to win an Oscar. And I was told that about Joaquin Phoenix years ago. Like, if you go back and look at my tweet from years ago, I was literally, from what I was told, he's really good in it. Heard he's going to win the Oscar. And I'm hearing the same things about Lady Gaga.
Like, it's totally possible.
Like I said, how it's been described to me is La La Land on acid with Harley Quinn the Joker. But, like, there's questions about this version of these two characters, right? Because it doesn't seem like Harley Quinn is like the quintessential, like, psychiatrist that goes in to try to...
No, it almost looks like she's also one of the inmates at the asylum.
It feels like we're, like, seeing, like, a mishmash of, like, Joker, La La Land, and then One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it's been described. The trailer's really good. It's iconic. The music is really strong in it. There's some really great moments in the trailer. And it's honestly one of the best DC trailers we've had in probably 5 years. Like, just to be honest. Like, there has not been a really great, strong...
There are some great shots in this. Like, the one where he's walking outside in the rain. There's the lipstick scene near the end. Like, those are all really great shots. Definitely helps the trailer stand out.
Like the music, you know, the song choice in it, you know, the color palette, you know, with the different color umbrellas. I only saw the trailer 2 or 3 times. And there's not a lot for us to, like, pick up and pick out. You know, when the first Joker trailer, you know, debuted, you know, way back then, or, like, the first full trailer, not the teaser, like, there was stuff for us to review. Like, oh, my God, you know, this or that, you know, stop this, stop that, let's talk about this. You know, and then when we reviewed it, same type of thing, right? So, but, like, this is a hard thing to kind of, like, because there is so much happening. And, like, there's literally a scene with the Joker in Joker makeup where it looks like he's, like, a lounge singer. Like, how are we supposed to talk about that? And here's a scene of, like, you know, the Joker as a lounge singer. Like, it looks like...
It raises more questions than it answers.
Right. And, like, what's interesting about this trailer is it, like, kind of wants you to... Like, I want to see more footage. Like, I want to see, like, trailer number 2, obviously. Like, it does a really good job at kind of, like, how is this going to play itself out? Because at the end of the first Joker movie, you're kind of led to believe, like, everything that has happened was all in his head, right?
That is one of the implications, yes. We know for a fact that that girl he was crushing on was... That was all kind of made up fabricated.
So, like, that's the feeling I'm getting with this.
Right. Is that happening again? Is he, like, imagining that this Harley girl's falling for him? Or is that actually happening?
It's going to be the end of the film where he's literally, like, sitting across from Dr. Harley Quinzel, and they're having a conversation inside Arkham Asylum. And she's like, what are you thinking about, you know, Arthur? And it's kind of like our realization that what we just saw was all in Arthur's head again. So it's very interesting. Like, I don't know if that's what they're going to be doing. Like, I've been too busy to kind of be tracking this. Like I did, you know, the script hasn't leaked either.
So, keeping it under wraps.
And
the funny thing is the title of this movie also kind of supports this, like everything is kind of made up, fabricated narrative. I didn't know this at first. I had to go and research it, but apparently Folie à Deux, or however you want to pronounce that, literally translates to a shared delusion between two people that are close together. So like the title of this movie is literally saying, hey, this is like just a big delusion that Joker and Harley are like fabricating in their heads.
Right. And that's why my thought process in regards to this is he literally having like, is his mental instability, is he hallucinating these things? Is his schizophrenia, is this all just hallucination where he thinks that he's having this torrid love affair again with someone, but in reality, it's just all been in his head? Because that's what this feels like. It just feels like this acid trip as we were going into the mind of this character, right? So, yeah. Which begs the question, like, for at the end of the first film, like as we go into this film, like, begs the question, what is reality and what is in his head? Like, what is,
and that,
where do we see
that
him?
That worries me a little bit, because it's like, well, the first movie already kind of touched on that. I already kind of played with that idea. Are we just doing it again? What is real, what is not real? But now, right. now he's
can
thinking of it as a musical.
Are you saying can they ring the same bell twice?
Yeah, that's what I'm concerned about. Like, are we just treading the same water here?
And like, what's interesting is like, I hope that's not what it is, but like, I feel like that's what ultimately is what we're gonna get. Because how can you explain what this new, what,
like,
this,
like, what is the alternative? Does it set up in a way to where the audience thinks everything is going to be made up and fake, like the first movie, but then the twist is actually everything that you saw was real and it actually happened?
Like, my thought process, and I think I've talked about this to you on a podcast, maybe it's this podcast or just in private. Like, I thought the idea of like what the plot thread of this film should have been is the Joker plotting his escape from Arkham Asylum. I thought that was the most logical place to go. Like the ultimate,
like Shawshank Redemption with the Joker.
Yes and no. Shawshank meets, you know, Silence of the Lambs type.
Yeah.
You know, like one of those types of films. And like when I heard it was a musical, I was like, how do you make this a musical? How do you make these characters into, and like just watching this trailer, like I said, it feels like what we're going to get is at the end of the film, him sitting across from Harley Quinzel, Dr. Harley Quinzel, and us realizing that everything we just watched was all in his head. Because how else do you explain them just breaking out in a musical number?
Yeah, like, how does Joker get more TV appearances after what happened in the last movie? It's
like, how is this character, after the events of the first film, like, how does this character just be able to be seen in a lounge singing? You know, and like, there's clues in the trailer too of like him being pulled away, you know, like, you know, he's on the ground being like drug on the ground being pulled away, you know, like, I don't know, just I think if they play, if they, it kind of worked the first time around. I don't know if they can pull it off again.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you said, like they're just kind of retreading the same waters.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope we're wrong about that though. Like, cause I mean, this is a good trailer. It's a very good trailer. And I want a lot of what I'm seeing to be kind of coherently told throughout the movie in a way that's satisfying, but I don't know. We'll see what, cause I really don't know what they're shooting for with this movie. I don't know what the message is or what they're trying to say.
I don't know either. And the other reason I did not care that it was going to be musical, not because Lady Gaga's in it, but we're going to be missing emotional cues from Hildur Guanatiers or however you pronounce her last names. Like her score for the first film is pretty iconic. And I was really hoping like that was going to, like, I don't know. I just feel like they should have gone more traditional this sequel. You know, just the idea that they're kind of like making this a musical, making this about music. I don't know.
We'll see.
I don't know. I just don't know. I have no. I'll go see it 10/4/2024. It's right around my birthday. So
happy birthday. Here's a Joker movie.
Anything else about the trailer that you really thought was strong and powerful other than the images? I really liked it. I give this a B+/A-.
Yeah. I'm trying to find faults in a lot of what I'm seeing. And outside of just the concept of the movie, that's the only thing I'm like really struggling with, because I'm looking at this, I'm like, okay, it's shot really well. They're playing with the lighting in every shot, very interesting composition. We already know Joaquin Phoenix is an amazing actor. Lady Gaga, she's actually been good in movies I've seen her in, so like I think she'll kill this role. I think she'll be good in it. Even though I'm not a huge fan of musicals, I'll go see it. I'll try to just accept it for what it is and see how it enhances the movie, if it does. But yeah, I'm just kind of cautiously optimistic about it at the moment.
I mean, isn't that every film that you go see?
Debatably. I've become a very jaded person over the past couple of years, okay?
For reasons. Anything else that we need to talk about in regards to DCU, Joker, Batman, Superman? So obviously this is a Batman podcast, but I mean, other than Joker, like we're not going to really get Batman news for, you know, the Batman part two.
Yeah, we got a ways to wait for Batman part two.
We'll be reviewing Penguin Things, you know, not like from like National Geographic Penguin or March of the Penguins, but we'll be reviewing like the Penguin on Max.
That's going to be a while before we get Brave and the Bold.
So, but at least there's things to talk about. At least like there's, you know,
we're in a much better spot than we were like 5 months ago.
Right. And like, it was pretty barren. Like the well was pretty dry, you know, these last 3.5-4 years.
Yeah.
So, but there's going to be a new Deadpool trailer tomorrow, so we'll probably break that down.
I just hope we actually get to see Hugh Jackman in it.
I don't care about seeing Hugh Jackman. I want to see him in the mask.
The iconic mask? Yeah, well, we are getting the yellow suit, so there's got to be a mask with it.
Show me what he looks like in the iconic yellow suit and mask. That's what I want. That's what I care about. I don't care about anything else. That's
make it that happen.
Literally, him in the iconic mask is probably the only reason I'm going to see this film. So, but yeah, that's going to be episode 213. Make sure that you're doing all that you can to like, follow, and support this podcast by going to our social media, Shannon on Batman Podcast, which you can find us on Facebook. You can find us on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Shannon on Bat. You can find me on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Batman Shannon. And you can find Kyle at Looting Kyle, even though he never is on X, formerly known as Twitter. He is always.
Literally the only reason I still have my X is to preserve my name.
And then if you're a new user, he's going to make you pay for it to become a new user, I guess. I don't know how that's going to work. So
how is that platform not dead already? Somebody please legitimately answer that for me.
I mean, it's been dead for like the last 4 years. So I don't know why people I guess my thing about Elon Musk running Twitter, it's has always been a cesspool. It's always been a joke. And I'm not going to say he's made it better, but I'm not going
to say. Here's the problem. It's always been a cesspool. And instead of trying to improve it, he decided to monetize it.
But how do you improve it other than, you know, kicking everyone off of Twitter?
There's not really much you can do to improve it necessarily. It's just because people are just going to be assholes.
Right.
So you need to either incentivize people not being assholes or punish people for being assholes. Neither of which he's willing to do.
We won't even go into that. So episode 213 is in the can. Kyle will have that up here shortly. So like I said, make sure you're doing all that you can to support us in those ways by listening to us, subscribing, all those great things that you can do for us. And that's going to do it.